Who this afternoon realises they're a work in progress? I hope somebody's in agreement. Praise God. One thing we find out day after day after day is that Jesus loves us and is very patient with us. Very patient. I came across an item in that word for today. Some of you read it. Some occasionally, some perhaps every day. But this one was dated the... I haven't written it down now. It was a Friday, about three or four Fridays ago. And we went into what was my old school. Back in... I told them how long ago, and I thought, no, it can't be, and it is. It was 50 years ago I started at the school that I went back into, and never did I think I'd be going back into that school to do what I did the other week, which was to give Bibles out. Every first year in what I term secondary school, now it's called year, is it year seven? You'll know that it's the first year in secondary school. The Gideons, if you've heard that organisation, give Bibles to every child, or offer Bibles to every child. Some schools are open to it, some schools aren't so open, but in the Barnsley area that we're sort of helping with, every school is open to receive a Bible. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Doncaster isn't.
Some of the schools in Doncaster, the doors are shut for some reason. We've just been in two schools, and both times it's been different, but it's been special. But that wasn't really what I wanted to bring. The thing that I gave to them as a, because we're allowed to spend 5 or 10 minutes. We're not allowed to preach. That's one of the rules of the Gideons. Might change, but I don't know. But anyway, I thought, right, I'll leave you a thought. And I left them a thought at the end. And it's this item. When Moses was treading his path through life, he got it wrong a few times, and his own opinion of himself wasn't very good. And the words it puts into this particular thought for the day was interesting. I'll just read it to you. This is Moses saying, talking to God. He says, "Nobody knows me. I don't speak too well, and my track record isn't too good." Now, that's not bad for a fella that we're going to come and lead a nation.
Yeah.
He ended up leading Israel out of Egypt. Okay. And there he is telling God, "Nobody knows me, I don't speak too well, and my track record isn't too good." And at least one of those has got to apply to every single one of us, probably the whole spectrum of it to some extent. The interesting thing is what God said back to Moses. Because just as we're really qualified in every one of them, we qualified to receive the answer as well.
Yeah.
And God said, "I know your past, and it doesn't matter.
Amen.
Your failures and inadequacies are no longer the ultimate truth about you.
Yeah.
You are what you are, but you are not yet what you will be.
Yeah.
Because I, God, will be with you."
Yeah.
So wherever you are today, whatever you're going through, God's got a word for you. God's got a special future for you. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, recently, I keep going round in circles, and I keep coming back to this word faith. Because to me, this word faith is the anchor that ties us to God. Jesus says a lot about faith, and we've been through when he heals people. When he healed people, he said, "Your faith, your faith." And you'll read it in the New Testament. At times he's healed people and delivered people. He said to them, "Your faith." Now that means that he saw something in them. And that in them responded to Jesus. And that something is faith. For just hold on to that scripture again. It says, "For whatever is born of God," now that born is genoa. It's God's divine nature imparted into the believer. So whoever gets that divine nature coming into them then has great potential, because the potential is to overcome the world.
Amen.
And the word in this particular word is cosmos.
Yeah.
And that's like the sum total of all the material things that you see and touch and feel. So if we've got the divine nature of God imparted into us, then we have the potential to overcome all the natural things of the world.
Amen.
And he says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith.
Amen.
Your faith, our faith, my faith. That is the thing that overcomes.
Yeah.
My faith. So what is my faith? My faith is I believe what God says in his word, through his spirit. I believe it. You know, I've heard people say that I know that I know that I know.
Yeah.
We have to sort of go into that realm. We leave our natural fears behind, because to some extent what we term as fears are things we hang on to as security.
Yeah.
As we have a comfort zone. And that comfort is, to some extent, in the place of faith.
Yeah.
We hang on to things that are familiar. We hang on to things that are comfortable. And when we're comfortable, we don't need anything.
Yeah.
Or we feel we don't need anything. When we're comfortable, we don't need God, because we've got our comfort from something else.
Yeah.
But the trouble is, whatever that something else is likely to fail at some time. So wherever that comfort zone is, sometimes or other we might be thrown out of it.
Yeah.
It might be situation, circumstances, it might be health, it might be relationships, it might be anything, and suddenly we're thrown out of it.
Yeah.
We need to grasp hold of faith, because faith is the thing that we don't get thrown out of. Faith is trusting when we don't see what's going on. When we can't see the outcome of things. If you turn to Acts chapter 26, if you've got your Bible. Verse 18. It's the latter part of that verse I really want to concentrate on. This is Paul's relating to King Agrippa, his conversion experience, his own conversion experience. I'll start at verse 15, I'll just read it so you get the picture a bit better. It says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord?" This is Paul. It says, "And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to anoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Yeah. It's that last bit. In order... Where are we? In order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. If we can grasp all the faith sanctifies us. Yeah. Our sanctification is a priceless thing. To be sanctified in the presence of God. You know, to set apart by God, to put in His presence all the time. And within a special environment, if you like. Like they say, we're in this world, but we're not of it. Now, we're subject to all the pressures that all the world throws at us. We're not somehow magically put on one side. But it's been able to walk through all the circumstances, all the pressures, all the difficulties, all the things that's thrown at us. And the thing that Jesus is saying is that He sanctifies us. Our faith sanctifies us. It gives us something the within us that all the security blankets that we use can't do. It gives us a sense of strength and something inside, no matter what's thrown at us. So everything else can be stripped away. You know, I remember Terry Waits, and he was held captive. And I don't know, was it 2 years or longer? And he was held captive. And it's his faith that kept him going. Now, he's in an environment where he's locked away from anybody that could encourage him. He's in isolation as far as his faith's concerned. Yeah, I so admired that man, because when he came out, it strengthened. It not weakened, it strengthened. And all he got to hang on to was his faith. See, you go into a lot of the persecuted areas of the world, and a lot of these people have had everything stripped away from them. All the security blankets are gone, whether it's things around them, whether it's money, whether it's people that they hold on to, or just situations. They've had these things stripped from them. And the thing that they've got left at the end has been faith. Yeah. And that is why... I think that the church that's persecuted sees more miracles than we do.
Yeah.
Because the church that's persecuted, their faith is on the line.
Yeah.
Their faith is on the line.
Yeah.
There is nothing left to be taken from them, but they cannot be robbed of their faith. So in the places where persecution is so heavy, then the miracle of faith grows.
Yeah.
And it is a thing that grows. One of the things that I looked at, I'm going a bit out of order, but I jotted these things down as they came. I've been going about off and on for a week or two or more on this one. But you remember about the mustard seed? So I've got a reference to it here, really. Anyway, the mustard seed, when we think, oh yes, faith has a mustard seed, so I can have tiny faith and it moves mountains. That, to me, is not what it says. It says, as the mustard seed. Now, what does a mustard seed do? It starts off very small, but it has the potential to grow so large. So what it's saying, that if you have that potential in you of faith, then you can grow in your faith.
Amen.
to the degree that you can move mountains.
Yeah.
Faith is not selfish.
No.
But we do tend to look at faith in a selfish way.
Yeah.
Because often when we pray, it's for my situation.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of the time when we pushed into the corner, that's when we'll pray, and we'll pray for me.
Yeah.
But that selfish faith is powerless. It says, if I have faith to remove mountains, this is in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2, if I have faith to remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
Without the love ingredient, the faith is powerless.
Yeah.
So that suggests to me that my faith, I can't just move in faith in a selfish mode. I can't do that because I haven't got any power.
Mm.
Now perhaps it's that the sanctification isn't there, because it's the ingredient of love that makes it spark.
Mm.
It's the ingredient of love that makes it go. And in verse 13 it says, now abide faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love is greater than faith.
Yeah.
And we know that because Jesus died for me. It wasn't my faith that made him die.
Mm-hmm.
It was his faith.
What?
It's his faith that made him die.
Yeah.
I'm saved through his grace to me. And he's linking me into himself by bringing me into that faith. Now faith then becomes my responsibility. At initially, Jesus is drawing me into himself. But to receive him, I've got to operate in faith.
Yeah.
My faith has got to start doing something.
Yeah.
While ever I'm in my comfort zone, I'm religious.
Yeah.
It's only when my faith becomes real that things start happening. Now, We were in Normandy, and it does make you think when you go to that place. I've never been to France before, and to go to Normandy, and I remember, I was born 2 years after the war finished, but in the Second World War, there were literally thousands upon thousands and thousands that laid their lives down for us, for the ones that were going to come after them in this nation. And it's unbelievable. When you think they were caught up in a war machine.
Yeah.
You know, they were at a certain age at a certain time in history, and they got caught up in a war machine.
Yeah.
And there'll be countless accounts of soldiers giving their lives to save the comrades.
Yeah.
That happened countless times. And it made me wonder, you know, would I give my life for somebody that I cared for? Now the problem is that the ones I care most of is Pauline and the children. And I can't answer that question. Because the only time you can answer that question is when you're actually there and you have to do it. You do not know. But these in history, they did it. A lot of them did it. And they had choices. They would have had choices at the time. And they did it. And they gave up their lives and themselves that others might live.
Mm.
And what took them to that point? There must have been a faith in them that what they were doing was going to count.
Yeah.
What they were going to do was counting.
Yeah.
I say a lot went, there was a lot of fear in the soldiers, in the forces and that. You imagine yourself caught up in all that. And having to go to war and fighting an enemy when you don't know the result. Remember, they didn't know what the result was going to be. But what they did when they went into Normandy, they started the beginning of the end. for that war.
Yeah.
And it completely changed the outcome. And backed by that, at that time, this nation prayed. This nation prayed.
Yeah.
In 60 years, we've lost that.
Yeah.
In 60 years, since all that happened. Another thing about faith and love operating is it brings unity. Colossians 3:14 says, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You can't separate love and faith off. It's a difficult one. You move from hope into love and into faith, but you cannot separate love and faith off. When they come together, it's the unity of those two that brings unity in us as well. That's the thing that's going to bring unity, because love looks beyond the faults. And believe me, we have all got faults. Plenty of them. But if we majored on them, we'd lose out. We'd lose out in the vision that God's got for us. Because God's looking beyond the faults, beyond the failings, beyond the shortcomings. Because all the time, God sees our potential.
Yeah.
We only see the amount of faith we've got at any given time. And at this moment of time, listen to me carefully. We have all got faith, but we haven't all got the same strength of faith in us at the moment. We're like the mustard seed. We've all got the potential of the measure of faith.
Yeah.
But as we reach into faith, we, like it says, you know, some can eat meat, some might only be drinking milk. And it depends where we are on that road. But the ability of each of us to love one another is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me if your faith level isn't as high as mine, or if it's a lot higher. If it's a lot higher, you might drag me along, so I'll stick with you. So, you know, if your faith level is lower down than mine, I'll stick with you and I'll encourage you higher. That is unity. That is unity and encouragement. That is faith in operation. Because it says faith without works is dead. And we've got to be careful what it means by works. Works is not just doing a job. God will get the things done that he wants to do. God is more concerned is where we're going to. He said, I'm not bothered. It's alright. I can talk above him, it's alright. So one of these days, the Spirit of God will come on Tony. And he'll wonder what's hitting. We've seen him touch once or twice, but he goes back into his old ways. But yeah, we're patient. We're patient. So when God touches it, now I've lost my train of thought there. Where did that? Come, somebody tell me where I got to then. Are you listening? Oh yeah, right. God's not concerned just about us doing a job. You know, he'll send us on the mission field doing this and we're doing that. And the mission field can be just around the corner. It doesn't have to be another country or continent. And he'll take us there. But he's looking from where we're coming from to where we're going. He's already said he's not bothered where we've come from. He's concerned where we're going. And he wants us to grow in faith so we can enjoy more of him.
Amen.
If we can't grasp hold of faith, we're grasping all the other things. We might grasp hold of, I don't know. What do you put your security in?
Money.
Job, house, family, travel, just being in the same place, a regular routine. All those things are things that we'll hang on to. But then you'll come across this person and says, God told me to go so-and-so. He did with Abraham, didn't he? He says, I want you to go to a place I'll show you. Now, if it were you or me, you'd say, well, where do you want me to go? But Abraham did say, first of all, he says, all right, I'll go. And then God showed him where they were going to take him. But there's people that have gone to different parts of the world in hostile situations. And it's, when you look at them, it's like they're on a different plateau. Perhaps we've not been tested in that way. I don't know. Or perhaps we're not reading enough into our faith. You know, are we waiting for the call of God? You know, he's having a good sleep, isn't he? I said this afternoon, I said, don't snore, Tony. He says, well, when I'm asleep, I don't know. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight or by appearance.
Yeah.
Now, I've written, I'm trying to look at the definition of this in another way. And the sight, not by a sight or appearance, it says it refers to the visible appearance of things which are set in contrast to that which directs faith, meaning that the believer is guided not by what he beholds or sees, but by what he knows to be true, though invisible. That's a bit of a mouthful, that, but when somebody says, I mean, it might have happened to you at different times, but you've just had somebody on your mind and just had this prompting, go and see them. And you've gone there and it's been a critical time for them for some reason. And you think, wow, you know, and it's just sort of, and it's not that there was any event or any circumstance that you saw. It's just that you got the prompting from God to do something, to be there, to be in that situation. And the same way, people have gone to different parts of the world to be there.
Yeah.
They've decided that's where God wants them to be. And they've not really known what they were going to do when they got there. But they've gone anyway. And circumstances and situations have turned around for individuals, for families, for communities, for entire nations sometimes. But it's come about because one person has got hold of the faith and gone and done it. Now we know there's mentions of possibility of going to Africa and things like that. And you think, wow, you know, it would be a nice holiday. But to go into a situation where it's your faith you're going to rely on, it's not a tour guide or somebody just being there showing you around and you know you've been part of it all. You could be there and your faith's on the line because you've got to speak life into somebody's situation. You know, it takes us into another realm altogether.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be going to Africa. It can be on your own doorstep. Suddenly, something opens up for you to do something. But it might mean laying yourself on the line to do it. And you think, oh, I've got all this routine and all this security around me, and all of a sudden, something's happening and I've got to do this. And it's taking me right out of my comfort zone. Now, either you go in as a non-swimmer and you hang on to the side because you don't let go, or you jump in and hoping your faith will help you to swim. It's a big thing. It's a big change. We see equally so, though, as well as going out and doing other things, situations can invade your life. that put you on the line.
Yeah.
And suddenly, all the things that you thought were secure aren't secure anymore. And you think, where do I go from here? And suddenly, there's that word pops up again. Faith. Mm. And God's saying, trust me. Mm. Believe what I say.
Amen.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
Just trust me. And just lean on me. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Hearing, it's the act of hearing, the act of taking in information. And it comes by that word, the word is rhema. And it's a spoken word. And it's the subject matter. It's really the subject matter of what's been said, what's been spoken. And the subject matter is the Word of God. So faith's got to come by soaking in the Word of God. I'm not a study person, really. I like to get into words and have a look around words and things like that. I've never been a reader. Even when I was at school, I couldn't sit down and read books. It just weren't my thing. But the more I go on, I find when I'm doing things like this, things come into my memory, my attention, that I didn't realise I knew. And I'm sure it's God puts them there. Because he's forming something he wants to tell you. And I try to go along with it. My problem sometimes is in getting it into some sort of sensible order. But see, God knows what you need today. He knows exactly what you need. I don't. Now, I don't know how long ago, I spoke on faith a number of weeks ago. I remember speaking on faith, and this has come again, but in a different way. It's taken me a little bit further. Now listen, it's taken me further. That happens before it gets to you. This is trying to get into me, my faith level. God's trying to encourage my faith level to move that bit further forward.
Amen.
And quite often it's not leaps and bounds, it's a little bit further forward.
Mm.
It's learning that next step and how to go that bit further. I suppose since I finished full-time work, probably in some areas become more active than less active. It's not a carpet slippers life. It goes the other way. Because you're called on. Because your faith is available. And if people can draw on your faith, that's good.
Yeah.
Because it means you've got something to give. And it's coming from God into you, and you can give it out. And it might be just a word of encouragement to somebody. You might see something in somebody that nobody else sees. You see the struggling or something like that. And you can go over and speak that word into them. Nobody else has perhaps noticed that God's prompted you. Don't miss the opportunity. You know, just that telephone call to ring somebody, and you perhaps haven't even thought about them for a long, long time, and suddenly they come into mind. And it could well be a reason. You know, God just wants to bridge that gap with somebody. Somebody that's been on the way a long time, and situations have drawn them away. And suddenly, you know, we bring their attention back. Yeah, I've touched on this a bit earlier. This is another thing I wrote down. Faith develops under adversity. It doesn't tend to develop much Why are we comfortable? And one of the problems with this nation is that we become comfortable. We have a lot of material possessions. And I'm sure, you know, if we go to parts of Africa, we will really know what deprivation is.
Yeah.
We think somebody that has only got a few pounds in the pocket is poor. But what about somebody that hasn't even got a few pence in the pocket? So faith often develops under adversity. And the potential comes a lot quicker in that situation because it's a needs must. One of the things that happens to people that are ill, if they lose hope, they deteriorate a lot faster. And faith builds a positive outlook. When you know that Jesus is on your case, then it changes your perception of your situation. Because what seemed impossible before, now is possible. God says, you know, things that are impossible are possible with me. God says that to each one of us individually. The situation that you think is impossible, God makes things possible. And when we look at it with the correct perception, and he opens our eyes in faith, we see things different. We see things a lot different. And the outcome often is different to what we anticipated, what we think. And God takes us through and develops our faith as we go through the situations. We come out the other end with more faith than we went in. Because it's the adversity that helps our faith to grow. We can nullify our faith by complicating it. It's very simple faith. Faith is trusting.
Amen.
Those of you that have had little children find that their trust is very simple and very complete. They'll come running to you and they'll cling to you for their security. They know that that's going to come from you.
Amen.
And very often we complicate faith, and God talks in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 7 about tradition and religion nullifying faith.
Yeah.
We've got to be careful that the habit of coming to church does not nullify our faith. Because one of the things that I've mentioned is that we get familiar and comfortable coming to church. If we went into a church we had never been to before, we'd go in with some apprehension. We're familiar with coming here, and it can be a tradition that we come here. I have this habit of sitting in the same seat. Naughty boy. We should move around, but we don't. We are creatures of habit. But the thing is that it's important we do not just come and be comfortable.
Yeah.
That's not what we're here for.
Yeah.
We're here for our faith to grow.
Yeah.
Our faith to be strong. Because the one that's strong can help the one that's weak. The one that's strong can achieve things in the kingdom of God and for the kingdom of God. If we're just going through the process of being religious, then we have become very weak and watery. But that's not what God wants. He wants an active, unified, loving, faithful church.
Amen.
That's what he wants. Another word for today item. This was in Wednesday the 2nd of December. So write that down if you... Listen to this. You regularly trust power you cannot see. Now I'll tell you about that in a minute. To do a work you cannot accomplish. Today Jesus asks you to do the same. You trust power you cannot see. Well, you can't see electricity. You can't actually see the air. But those that have flown on aeroplanes will have trusted its ability, though you can't see it. And transport. How many have looked inside an engine? But you travel by car, bus, train, or whatever. So you regularly trust power you can't see to do a work you cannot accomplish. You can't fly, I can't fly. But in an aeroplane I can. I can't travel at 60 mile an hour. But by transport I can. So Jesus is asking us to do the same with him.
Yeah.
Trust him. Trust him with our situations. And quite often it's plural. There's more than one thing where we complicate a person sometimes. There can be more than one crisis or situation going off in our lives at once. And Jesus says, do the same as you do with the natural thing. Trust me. Because you know that Jesus tells you that he will not let you down. He might not take you the route that you think you might go. All the times you sleep at night or lay awake at night thinking of all the routes that it might take. The likelihood is that Jesus will take you another route that you never thought of. But it'll be the right route. And it'll bring more for you going that route than any other route. I was reading a book while we were away, Brother Andrew. It's the calling, it's the one that comes after the first book. Brother Andrew, he's one that has spent his life taking the Bibles into very difficult areas of the world. He's laid his life on the line a number of times. And they produced a little booklet called The Victory Manual. And this is a closing paragraph in that victory manual. It says, more Christians have suffered for their faith than at any other time in church history. Able to stand. Why are they able to stand? It says, because they have learned how to sink their roots of faith deeply into the rock, Christ Jesus. That's it. Getting our roots down into Jesus. Getting our roots locked into him. I say, it's all right to forget about faith and all that when things are going nice and happiness exists because of situations around us are nice. But at some point in time, the happiness thing falls. And if we don't get our roots of faith deeply into the rock, we fall with that falling happiness. And Jesus says it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to happen like that. He says, my joy, his joy, will be ours. But he wants to respond to our faith, or he wants our faith to respond to him. We've all got some faith. Might be, or it might be wherever or somewhere between. So we've all got the potential to let Jesus do something in us. But we've got to grasp hold of faith. We've got to grasp hold of what Jesus is trying to do with us and for us. We're on a journey, And the journey is not just jumping over fences till we get to the end. It talks about renewing our mind. It talks about us growing. It talks about us developing. Andrew's talked a lot about potential.
Yeah.
Potential. And every one of us, Jesus sees the potential in us. And the potential is not just sitting filling a church pew.
No.
It's not just doing a job.
No.
The potential is renewing ourselves daily. Renewing ourselves. And when I say renewing ourselves, it's allowing God to work in us, renewing. And it's built on the faith that we have the small smattering of. And like the churches that we're seeing, miracles done, miracles taking place regularly in the persecuted church, we can grasp all that. You know, in our lifetime, things could drastically change in this nation. At the moment, we're free to worship, we're free to own Bibles, we're free to speak, well, to some extent. That isn't necessarily always the case. We need to grasp hold of faith now and let faith be the stronghold.
Amen.
Like Terry Waits when he was locked away. I don't know how I would have... 1984, was it? Right. Yeah. Roger McCarthy, yeah. You see, the people that have stood in the gap for nations at times, or for people that have been captured. Is that gone? Part of it? It does, hasn't it? The battery gone. I've nearly finished anyway.
Praise God. Is that alright? No? I don't sound.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Praise God. I think God wants to encourage each one of us. Whatever level of faith we're at the moment is to go higher. And seek to get rid of the security things that you've gripped onto in the past and get His security. Get locked into His security. It's good word in this. Get your roots of faith deeply into the rock Christ Jesus. That's going to make the difference. That will revolutionize us as a church, us as individuals, us as a town, and even this nation. If the church can grasp hold of that and move forward in it. I just praise you. I thank you for listening. I hope that something has gone for you in your situation. Because I'm sure that God's wanting to work with each one of us. And He works with each one of us as individuals, and He knows exactly where we are. But He also knows our potential. And if you're thinking it might be a bit cold jumping into the water, don't be afraid, because Jesus is already in there waiting for you to jump in and just grasp hold of Him. Amen.